How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. Beautiful. Beautiful. Wave it around. Beautiful. You may be seated. Turn, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. When you find your place, just say, I have it. Joshua, chapter 1. How many people know a little bit about Joshua? What did Joshua do? Well, the first thing that comes to our mind is Joshua. He marched around where? Jericho. They blew the trumpets and the walls fell down, and we know that about Joshua. But Joshua was an impactful person in the Bible, but not just in the written word. He changed a lot of lives. Joshua was able to minister to people not through so much his words, but Joshua was able to minister to people through his actions. And the reason is that Joshua had a different way of thinking about things. Joshua didn't accept the fears that the other people around him did. And because he didn't accept the fears, he had many people that followed him. And where Joshua was going was where God told him to go. So in essence, because Joshua was able to dispel the fears that a lot of other people had, then a lot of people came into a relationship with God because of Joshua's strength and courage. So today, I want to read to you what happened here in Joshua chapter 1, and then we'll be able to talk a little bit about it. You see, today we'll speak about fear, about worry, about strength, about courage. And you'll have an opportunity to examine yourself to see if you're a person that's going through this life with fear or you're a person that's going through this life with courage and strength. Now, understand something. I think this is a timely message, and the Lord had laid it on my heart because I think I've never heard so much, even in our societal scene. If you watch the news, if you watch this person that's complaining about this or this person that's complaining about this, you'll hear the phrase, well, we can't do that because I'm afraid, right? I'm afraid. What are we afraid of? Well, we can't institute certain laws because we're afraid they're going to offend somebody. We can't stand by the biblical principles that God gives us because we're afraid that somebody might be offended. The policeman can't even arrest who he needs to arrest because they're afraid they might be scrutinized for or be blamed that they arrested somebody that was breaking the law. They looked like they were breaking the law, but you can't say that person looks like they're breaking the law. Have we gotten ridiculous? We're afraid of what people are saying. We're afraid, even in our Christian walk, about what people are going to say about us, what people are going to think. And then we're afraid, even in the church body, we can't do this because we're afraid this person might not like it or that person might not like it. We're afraid to preach this because it might come across wrong to somebody. We're afraid to say the word hell because it seems like it might be an offensive word. We're afraid of this and we're afraid of that. We're a fearful bunch of people, aren't we? It's like we run around seeing all these little mice and we think, okay, let's change everything about the way that we are because we're afraid of this or afraid of that, much less the fear that we walk around with on a daily basis that we might not admit to. I'm going to the doctor and I'm afraid he might say this. Well, what if this happens at work? I'm afraid this might happen to me, so we think it through the rest of the process. What if this happens? Well, then this might happen, and I'm afraid this will happen. And so we live in this constant state of fear. What if the doctor tells me this? What if they tell me this at work? What if this bill comes in at the same time this bill comes in, and I know this can't work? I'm afraid of what might happen. So I see that people walk around in this constant state of fear. What if this relationship doesn't work out? What if this person doesn't call back? What if this person thinks this about me? So we fear this and we fear this and we become a bunch of timid little... We become timid. We walk around and who would want to follow us anywhere? How strong do we feel? How strong do we appear? We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. Joshua was not afraid. Listen, as Joshua took the reins from Moses in the first chapter, these first 9 verses, listen to God's conversation with Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Now, when it says Moses' minister, it's not meaning his pastor. It was Moses' assistant. And this is what God said. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go. Say those three words with me. Arise and what?
Go.
Last word again. Two letters. Say it again.
Go.
Again.
Go.
What does he mean when he says go? That means go, move, have action. Go. Arise, go. First place, over the Jordan, thou and all thy people into the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. And as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee. All the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Did you hear that? That you can prosper. Do these things so that you can prosper. Today, everyone wants to preach this prosperity gospel. God is saying, hey, you can prosper if you're obedient to me, and if you go in strength and courage, you'll prosper what I want you to prosper. Only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to the law. Now listen, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all the things written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's some things I want you to notice about Joshua. And I now want to compare our lives to Joshua's lives. You say, well, I'll never be that Joshua. Well, God intends you to be that Joshua. He intends us all to be that Joshua. So in learning about him, we'll be able to relate to ourselves. Joshua is not somebody that stood on the sidelines. Joshua is not somebody that just put systems in place or wanted to accomplish this or did studies of what they should do. Joshua was a doer. He was a goer. Joshua interacted and he acted. Now, Joshua had a certain character trait that we all need to have, and we're going to talk about that today. Of course, it's his strength and his courage. But what made him strong and courageous? It was God's words, his promises to him. I want you to notice something right off the bat. Joshua succeeded Moses. Joshua knew the promises God had made Moses, correct? But Joshua didn't have the same tools Moses had. I want you to think about this. Moses now, when the hand of God came upon Moses, it blew Moses' mind, because remember the burning bush, God spoke to Moses? Remember he said, that simple staff in your hand, throw it down. What did it become? A serpent. Then pick it up. He picked it up. It became. Moses could do some miracles, right? Moses could stand in front of Pharaoh on behalf of God and say, I'm going to touch this water. It's going to turn to blood. I'm going to call for this plague and the frogs are going to come. And then he stood in front of the Red Sea and said, hey, I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to raise my staff and the waters are going to part. We saw all these things. God didn't tell Joshua any of those things, did he? Joshua, I'm going to give you the ability to do miracles. No. What did God tell Joshua? Listen, he said, I will be with you. That's it. I will be with you. You say, well, what else? Nothing. Joshua, I'll be with you. Well, what does that mean? That means that Joshua was working on the strength of his belief, knowing that as long as God was with him, he didn't need to fear anything. Whatever God's word said was going to happen. And I want to show you the result of living this way. You see, we think Joshua was just the guy that marched around Jericho. But Joshua, even his name, Joshua means Jehovah saves, or the Lord of salvation. And a lot of people don't know it, but Joshua's name was even changed. If you go to the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, when you see that that Moses had called him out to be one of the spies to go into the promised land. You'll see his name used to be Hoshea, and then Moses changed it to Joshua. And to the Lord is salvation, or Jehovah saves. Joshua was actually born in Egypt. He was born a slave. So here's what the children of Israel were born into. All these people that were going through the wilderness, they were born into slavery. Their families had been in slavery 400 years. They had actually been in bondage or been in Egypt 430 years. The first 30, they were with Joseph. After Joseph passed away for 400 years, they were slaved. What did they own? Nothing. Not a thing. After they left Egypt, God said, I've prepared for you a promised land. I want to take you to Canaan. I want to take you to the promised land. And there I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to give you something that you will own. And he told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. You talk about possession. These people haven't owned anything in years. And then for 40 years, they decided, we're too scared to go in and get it. You see, God wants us to have a place of permanence. We live in a temporary world, but he wants us to have our place of permanence in him, to look for him for provision. Even the church is a picture of permanence. People say, I can worship without outside of the church. You can. But God said you need the church body. Why? It's a place of permanence. He calls us sheep, right? You know what sheep need? Sheep need a place to graze and a place to grow. A place to graze and a place to grow. And he was bringing them into the land of Canaan, which had all those things. And if you're not in those things and have that sense of permanence, you drift, you wander, because the Bible says we're prone to wander, right? Even our minds wander. So I want you to understand, Joshua was standing on the edge of the promised land. And I want to take you back through a little history so that you'll understand. Do you know that Joshua was God's chosen vessel at a certain time? Now, last Sunday night, we talked a little bit about being a chosen vessel, didn't we? You were able to determine, am I a chosen vessel to God? Am I a vessel of honor? Am I honoring God with my actions? But Joshua, he was this chosen vessel. He was the one that God chose to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan because Moses couldn't take them. Into the promised land. Joshua, I'm going to give you this job. What did Joshua's resume look like? He was Moses' assistant. He was a slave. He was empowered by God. Now listen, Numbers 13, if you read Numbers 13, I'll just give you some things you can go back and read. Joshua was actually chosen as one of the 12 spies. God said, Moses, pick 12 men out. They can go out and search the land. So they went over into the promised land. 12 of them snuck over. There were millions, granted. They snuck over. And they looked into the promised land. They had got all this way. And 10 of them came back and said, it's a beautiful land. It's everything God said it would be. But, there are giants in that land. They're fortified cities. Those people are bigger. They've got great armies. The kings will eat us up. They're going to destroy us. 10 people said that. 10 of the 12. But there were two men, Joshua and Caleb. And they came back with a different report. They said, hey, listen, there are all those things, but God told us he was going to give it to us. God told us. You see, in chapter 14, we hear this language. Listen to Joshua's speech. All these people were panicking because she had 10 that came back in fear. Now, I want you to know this didn't just happen then. It's happening now. How many times have you been led to panic by somebody that comes and says, I don't know what we're going to do. This is happening and this is happening, or we can't do this or we can't do this. Do you see society in that panic today? This is what Joshua says. As all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. This is verse 1. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation. They said to them, would God that we had died in the wilderness, or Egypt, would God that we had died in the wilderness. The Lord's brought us into this land to fall by the sword. Our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They weren't even thinking what God said. They were looking at what they thought was going to happen. They were trusting in their own mind. But listen to Joshua. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them and searched the land, they rent their clothes, means they tore their clothes, and they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Now listen to their statement. If the Lord delight in us, that means if he's pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. But here's the warning. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord, listen to this, is with us. Fear them not. Amen. He made a statement that said, these people that you're so afraid of, listen to the metaphor he used. They're bread for us. What do we do with bread? We eat it for strength. He said, the Lord has given this to us. They're bread. We're going to use what they have to strengthen us. Why? One simple fact, not because I can do miracles, not because I can figure this out, not because I've got a good plan, I'm General Joshua, not because I've sat down and I've counted all this and I've got a plan in place and here's my system and here's my budget and here's what, not because of that. Why? Because God is with us. You say, that sounds simple. Well, you can spiritualize it and say it sounds simple, but I'm watching a world full of people that seem to have forgotten it. All of us. We've forgotten it. Joshua didn't forget it. And because he didn't forget it, you'll see what he accomplished. You see, when I get to Numbers chapter 26, in Numbers chapter 26, when I read verses 63 through 65, listen to what we read. Numbers 26. Just want to read this to you. This is after they had spent this time in the wilderness. Numbers 26, 63 through 65. These are they which were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these, that means they counted all these people. But among these, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered, when they number the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. What is he saying? Of all the millions of people that were there taking the journey, they weren't counting anybody there. All those people had died. For the Lord had said to them, thou shalt surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. What does this mean? That means they had something different. And so God kept them around. God kept giving them things to do. Why? They were willing to go because they accepted God said, go. He'll be with you. As simple as that sounds, as we look at Joshua chapter 1, we see these certain instructions that God gave Joshua. He not only gave him the ability to accomplish all that God wanted him to accomplish, these instructions actually guaranteed him success. God gave Joshua certain promises, and Joshua believed and lived by his promises. Under the leadership of Joshua, God's chosen people actually took the first steps into the promised land. Do you know that? They crossed the River Jordan and took the first steps into the promised land. Under Joshua's leadership, they continued to inherit all the land that God had promised to Abraham when he made the covenant with him. From crossing the Jordan, to conquering Jericho, to conquering the people of Ai, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. Even as he went to Jerusalem, do you realize that Jerusalem was in the promised land? They actually had to take that and defeat the king of Jerusalem. Hebron. As a matter of fact, if you want to get an account of this, you could go to Joshua chapter 12 sometime in your free time, and it lists all the people that Joshua, as leader and commander of the children of Israel, was able to conquer. 31 in all. Didn't lose any battles. God had promised Joshua that he would give him all the land that his feet would walk upon. Can you imagine that? Joshua, if the sole of your foot treads upon this, I'm going to give it to you. How neat. Would we be rich? We wouldn't. You know why? In order to get it, you have to go and step on it. You know why we don't get the promises of God? Because we stand back being afraid to go and do the things He wants us to do. There are people in our families, people we work with, people that we should be ministering to. Those people would change their lives. It would be things that would be added to your account with God. You made this difference in the world, but you know why they're not? Because our foot hadn't tread there. We've stayed back in fear. There are blessings in this world. There are relationships. There's peace. There's happiness and joy that God has for us. And the promised land is not heaven. Understand that. The promised land is walking in that peace of knowing God's provision while you're here on this earth. The promised land is what you're journeying through while you live, depending on God. Listen, there are things in our life we don't have. Why? Because we haven't put the sole of our foot on it. In order to get it, you have to go and touch it. We don't go and touch it. Why? Well, because of this and because of that, and we're afraid of this and we're afraid of that. Can you imagine what God has on the table for us that we leave? God told Joshua three things in verse 5, and I want you to see these three things. First of all, He said, Joshua, I'll be with you. Secondly, He said, I won't fail you. And thirdly, He said, I won't forsake you. That means I won't leave you. During this time that Joshua was leading, do you realize that God fought Joshua's battles for him? Do you realize that God tells us He'll fight our battles for us? Then why is it we spend so much time in fear if our plan is actually going to work, if God's going to fight it for us? Why is it? I'll give you an example. Joshua chapter 8, just one of the battles that Joshua fought. This is the instruction in verse 7. Just think about this. He said, Joshua, then shall you rise up from ambush and seize upon the city. Listen to what God says to Joshua. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Do you know the Bible tells us that God is the giver of all good things? God's the giver of all things you have today. He gave you life. He gave you the wherewithal to even think about the life you have. I'll deliver it into your hand. Does that mean that Joshua had to do anything? No. The only thing Joshua had to do was go. And how did he need to go? Go in fear? No. He told him, only be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Joshua, you don't have to know how you're going to win all these battles. I give you a good example. In Joshua chapter 10, there were five kings that came up against Joshua. Read the story sometime. You'll see in verses 5 through 11 that these five kings, they got together, and Joshua was down in Gibeon, and he had defeated there, and so these kings were coming up against him. Five against one. And when the word came to Joshua, did he run away? Did he say, oh, hold on, I want to get some other forces to go with me. I need somebody to help me do this. I don't want to do this alone. No. Joshua, if you read there, says he got on his horse. He told his group, we're going to ride all night straight into it. When they got to where those five kings were, ready for battle, you say they were probably too tired to use their swords. They didn't have to. After they used their swords a little bit, God created a spirit of confusion that came upon all the armies of those five kings, and their horses started running into each other, and the people forgot how to use their sword, and they were holding it by the wrong end, and they started killing each other. And then all of a sudden, those that were left, they were sitting there watching, those that were left, then God brought a great hailstorm, and big balls of hail came down and crushed the enemy. That way, Joshua couldn't take any credit for it. Now, was that Joshua or was God? No, all Joshua did, he said, I'll go. Why? because you told me I'll deliver them into your hand. I'm gone. I'm here. I don't know how it's going to happen. It doesn't make sense, but I have faith in you, God. I have faith in your power. Amen. If you read on in that chapter 10, it's a beautiful chapter. There were so many enemies there that had to be destroyed. When they got back to fighting, Joshua made this request of God. He said, God, I'm going to run out of day. I know you're giving us the battle, but there's only so many people that we can kill, my army can kill. We're going to run out of day. And then at night, they're going to escape. God, could you please just let the day stop for a minute? And God stopped the sun right where it is for the course of a day. It's never been done. The Bible says there's never been a day like that. Stop the sun right where it is. Can God do that? Yes, he created the sun. Go back to Genesis 1 sometime and you'll see that. He has control over it. So God was in control, and Joshua was along for the ride. But after you see God do one thing, and then you see him do the next thing, and then you see him do the next thing, it became to where I'll follow Joshua. I'll follow Joshua. Why? Because Joshua's following who? Exactly. We read in the 21st chapter, after Joshua had gone everywhere that the Lord had told him to go. This is Joshua chapter 21. You say you're going to a lot of places in the Bible. I am, because I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take God's word for it. Listen to verses 43 through 45. It will sort of sum up Joshua's leadership. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give it to their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt thereof. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware to their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Did God keep all of his promises? Absolutely. Not one enemy stood before them. And guess who got to watch all of this? Joshua. And guess who he was leading? He was leading God's chosen people. And did he lead them to possess the land of Canaan? Absolutely. Did he lead them to be at peace? Absolutely. What was Joshua's special skill? None. Neither does it tell you, or never will you see, that Joshua was a great warrior. Never will you see that Joshua was able to do these miraculous things. All you see is that Joshua was willing to take on every battle that came at him in life, knowing that God said, I will be with you. It didn't give him the instructions. It said, listen, I'll be with you if you're obedient to me. My laws, I gave them to you. You know what's right and wrong. Don't turn to the left or the right. You stay with me, Joshua, and I will always stay with you. God fulfilled all of his promises. To that I say glory to God. So what does this historic account of Joshua and his leadership and the instructions of God to him, what does it have to do with us today? Well, you'll find out if you go back to the first chapter. Joshua 1, these three things that God promised Joshua, do you know that he'll promise them to you also? He'll promise them to me if we will do what he says. You see, it's all about instructions and promises. God will give the permanence if we walk without fear in the temporary. God will give the permanence if we walk without fear in the temporary. Every day, you have an opportunity to fear. And every day, people are watching to see if you fear or not. I'll put it to you this way. When the general stands in front of his troops, and the general says, hey, that's a pretty big army, and I don't know how many of us are going to get killed, but they're really going to do a number on us today. Their weapons are better, and I'm scared, fellas. All right, let's go. Who's following that general? When the general says, well, I'm not going out there to talk to that guy. Somebody go with me. I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Who's following that guy? When the coach comes up and talks to the team and says, listen, I don't think we have a chance of even winning this game, so just go out there and make sure you don't get hurt before you come out. Now go out there and play. Who's going out there and giving their all? Nobody. Who's going to inherit victory? Nobody. Why? Because the person they're leading, the person that's leading them, they're leading in fear. You say, well, I'm never going to be Joshua. No, but you might be dad. You might be mom. You might be brother, sister. You might be child. You might be friend. You might be coworker. And God has put that person in your life so that they could follow you to Him. Follow you to Him. But they keep seeing that you're afraid of this and afraid of that. They keep seeing that. You say, well, how do they know I'm afraid? Well, there's one big product of fear. It's called worry. Worry comes from fear. You see, you can't have fear and faith in the same heart and mind. If you're afraid of every little thing, you have no faith. You're depending on yourself, what you can do. Is it going to hurt me? What's going to happen? I don't want to do this. I'm scared. Who's following that person? Nobody. Your children won't follow you. Your friends won't follow you. Your parents won't follow you. No matter what stage of life you're at, your coworkers won't follow you. Nobody will. Your teammates, your classmates, nobody's going to follow you. Why? They're not going to follow somebody of fear. What are you following them to? A hole they can crawl in to hide? Who wants that? People want victory. So how do people see us? Do they see us going through life fearless like Joshua? Think about it. How does somebody view us? Confidently saying, yeah, you know what? The doctor has told me this, but I trust in God. This is happening at work, but God's got me. He'll take care of me. Can I tell you something? For years and years, I thought I was right with God. I was even preaching the Word of God. Thought I was right with God. Had everything. I thought, God, this is what you want me to do. And I'm preaching at a certain place, not pastoring, preaching. I said, you know, God, you've blessed me with this business, so that's all on you. And I'm going to reach people. I'm going to do all this. But it was easy to do that because with the business as it grew, my income grew. So I was in that position to where I was comfortable. I didn't have to fear those things. But when God tells you to do something, you realize if I really trust Him or if I'm scared. You know why I didn't surrender to be a pastor? I was scared. I was living in fear that these numbers wouldn't match up with these numbers. And can I tell you how much income that you get when you start a new church? Nothing. There's no church. But I'll tell you this. Here's what God can do. God can say, I'll pay all your bills when you make nothing, the same bills you couldn't pay when you made everything. Figure it out. I've been trying for years. I can't. Amen? Amen? What's that all about? God said this, I'll go with you. But here's what you need to do. Go, Joshua. Go, Jeff. Go, Carrie. Go, Jackson. Go, Keith. Go, Anthony. Here's special tools I'm giving you. What are they? I don't know. Just go. Why should we go? What power do we go in? We go in the power of the name of God Almighty. We go as His children. He's given us a promise that says, I will give you success in this life. Success is not measured the way we measure success. You know how you measure success? Confidence and peace and joy. You say, I need to do that so I don't face the battles. No, you're forgetting something. Joshua faced a lot of battles. But God kept him around because people kept following him to God. The reason the church hasn't grown over the last 30, 40 years of real growth is because people are too afraid to follow God where He wants them to follow. They're too afraid to say what He wants them to say, do what He wants them to do, witness to who He wants them to witness to, stand on His Word when it's not popular. Why? Because we fear what the world says. And we even fear with our own thinking when God tells us to do something. Well, what if I miss this in my schedule? What if I miss this? I've got my life so planned out. Well, listen, you're not planning your life out anyway. God orders your steps, He says. I tell you, these three things, I will be with you, I will not fail thee, I will not forsake you. Give me these three things, knowing God is with me. So here's the battle I'm facing today, and the battle happens to be something that could just wipe me off my feet. How in the world am I going to make it? This enemy is out to attack us. The enemy, Satan, he wants worry to come in your life, because when you have worry, you're not exercising faith. Worry is a sin, so you're going to be blocked with God. What Joshua does is say, the enemy is big, but look at him. The enemy's big, but look at him. And I love the way Paul states it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You can turn there. I want to tell you what power you do have. Here's the power you have. Here's the power that Joshua has. God said, I'll be with you. Say that with me. One more time. Now, does that give you special powers? Guess what kind of special power it gives you? It gives you something called divine power. That's what Joshua had, divine power. Explain to me how a battle plan is drawn up when hailstones kill thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. How do you plan it? You don't. It was divine power. All Joshua had to do was be where he was supposed to be. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. As he was talking to the church in Corinth, second letter, he says, but we had this sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I want to explain this statement to you. When we get saved, God delivers us from eternal death. Every person listening today, you have an opportunity to be saved. God will speak to you, and he will compel you to come to him. Above your logic, above your intellect, above what you've been taught. So great to see so many college students that already are out of school that came back. But do you know what's on the agenda to teach them in most of the colleges? That God is a hoax, he's not real, that you're smarter than the people that are saying this. So because you're gaining intellect, you can't think on that smallest scale. So I can tell you, you can be too smart to get saved. And that's what they'll try to teach you. But do you know that God will appeal to you, and you'll hear a thumping in your heart that says, hey, where are you with God? Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You might hear it today when you listen. I'm not talking about going to a church and being a member. I'm not talking about passing a class or going through a class that a certain church teaches that says, if you go through here, then we're going to give you a paper that says you're confirmed to heaven. Now go on your way. No, those classes are great because they teach the Bible, but it's a personal relationship with God that has to happen between you and him. You have to cry out to God and say, I believe that you sent your son Jesus and that I'm a sinner, God. I'm separated from you. I need the blood of your son to cover my sins. Now, I didn't see it happen. I can't touch his blood, but I believe in the power of that. And the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Eternal hell. Saved from what? Eternal separation from God. That is what Paul was saying when he saved us from eternal death. Now, listen what he says next. The next thing that he says, he doth deliver. What does this mean? Do you realize that while I'm saved, while you're saved living on this earth, that daily he doth deliver? That was past tense, that he delivered me. He doth deliver means that anything I face today, that I can face knowing God is with me. So he delivers me daily. He delivers me from fear. He delivers me from worry. And you get the mindset that David had that said, I fought a bear and I fought a lion. Bring the giant on, right? Why? Look at this giant. Look at my father. So he did deliver me. He doth deliver me. And I love this. And then he says he will deliver, yet deliver us. That means that not only do I have to rest in today? If God keeps me kicking around here tomorrow, He's going to show up and walk with me tomorrow and deliver me from whatever it is tomorrow that I have an opportunity to fear. I don't have to fear anything. I don't have to fear any man. I don't have to fear any circumstance. I don't have to fear anything. You say, do people actually live like that? Yes! You say, do they face trials? Yes! But the person that follows somebody to the Lord is the person that sees somebody face trials and not fall to pieces. That sees them face things that would scare other people and not fall to pieces. You can't lead anybody to God the Father when you're living in fear. Who would follow you? Follow you to a hole? You might hide in? No. I'm not talking about an arrogance. I'm talking about a confidence. I'll be the first to admit it. We sang that song this morning. Glory to God, it touched my heart. My chains are gone. I've been set free. But what are we singing about? The amazing grace of God. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. But since He freed me, I'm free. Nobody can put me in bondage anymore. Paul said he had learned. And I love the first part of this. He had learned not to trust in himself, but to trust in God. He lived his life trusting in the promises of God. He knew that he didn't need to fear man or anything that man could do to him or any event that might happen because God was with him and God had a purpose for him. It takes me back to that story in the book of Acts, and I'm not going to chase this rabbit too long, but if you ever get a chance to go back to Acts 27 sometime and read, you'll see that Paul was on a ship with all these people, and the ship was doomed. It was going to crash. It was going to sink, and the people were just, these are grown men, just screaming. They were just scared because the ship was going. We would be screaming too, but Paul, he wasn't scared. So all the people said, Paul, why aren't you scared? And Paul basically stood up and said, hey, God told me I was going to Rome, so I don't know what this ship is doing, but I'm doing what God's going to do. And I can't go to Rome if I'm in the ocean. He actually told me none of us are going to be shipwrecked. So just hang on, be quiet, enjoy the ride. Does the ride get rocky sometimes? Yes, but God said He will deliver you. He'll deliver you through it. I look out here today, and I've been with you on the other end of that phone call when you've called me and you said, this is what we just found out. Right? What are we going to do? This is what they told us. I don't know how it's going to affect me. I'm scared this might happen. I'm scared this might happen. What if this happens? What's the first thing? Cross the board. If I had all of you answer at one time, the first thing that I tell you, are you a child of God? Amen. Are you a child of God? Then don't be afraid. Why? Because He's ordered your steps. Here's the worst thing that can happen to you. You can walk with Him here, and He decide that He wants you to walk with Him there. That's as bad as it gets. I can walk with Him here, or I can walk with Him there. But the Bible tells me that nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'll walk with Him here, I'll walk with Him there. Which is better? Well, there. I mean, I'm not signing up to go today. But I'll guarantee you the people that have went would never come back to walk here. If we walk in obedience in the Lord, here's what I want to get across. If we walk in obedience with the Lord, nothing will happen to us that He doesn't allow to happen because He's with us. And I want to bring these New Testament scriptures into it as I close. I want you to see. Now just listen. You don't have to turn to these, but I want you to listen. Listen to Jesus Himself. He's still preaching the same message. He told His disciples in Matthew chapter 10 not to fear because God was watching everything going on in their lives. And if they kept doing what He told them to do, He would keep walking with them because we are of much value to Him. Listen, this is Matthew chapter 10. I want to read you these verses. And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, a penny? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. He's continually, Jesus is saying, stop being afraid of everything in life. You're not doing me any good. That's why the evangelical church has failed. We're afraid. Stop being afraid. Start being somebody that somebody can follow to me. That's what God's saying. Listen, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Don't pick God up and use him when you need to use him, and then put him down. Because when you want him to use your name, that is when you stand before God, he's saying, if you're not going to confess me, I'm not going to confess you. When I go back, and I know we're getting ready to start reading a little bit about this, but there was an angel that appeared to Mary and said, fear not. Your life is getting ready to be upside down. People are going to think all this about you. You have no idea what's going on. She's like, I didn't do anything. I'm in this situation. And what? He said, don't be afraid. He came to Joseph and he said, hey, Joseph, don't be afraid. This is happening and people are going to ostracize you and they're going to think, don't be afraid. I've got a plan. I'll walk with you. He appeared to the shepherds. First thing he told the shepherds is, don't be afraid, fear not. He appeared to John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias. When he appeared, the angel appeared to Zacharias. You know what he told him? Don't be afraid. I've got something going on. I'm going to walk with you through this, and then I'm going to walk with your son. Listen to what he says in Zacharias' song in verse 74 of Luke 1, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. How many people in here think that you're serving God right now? Raise your hand. Now, don't raise your hand with this. Do you realize that God is not content on you serving him? He wants you to serve him without fear. Now, I don't want those hands to be raised, but you raise your hand in your heart if you're serving him without fear. Because if you're serving him with fear, fear of what the world's going to do, fear of what's going to happen to this person, fear of what's going to happen to this situation, fear of this, fear of that. You're not serving him the way that he wants you to serve him. He wants you to serve him without fear. That's what Joshua did. That's what he wants us to do. Not afraid of what any person can do to us. Not afraid of anything that might happen in our lives, because fear stops us from going and doing. Do you realize that? Fear stops us from going and doing. I know that Joshua's story is an Old Testament story, but I looked at it and I saw all these comparisons to our lives. I see this big precedent of fear that it seems like more and more people have. They're afraid of every little thing. Who would follow them anywhere? Who would want some of that? Who would want to live that fragile? Not anybody searching for something. Who wants to be in bondage to fear? I don't know of anybody, so why would they follow somebody that appears they're in bondage? I take you back to the last words that Jesus said before he left this earth. You know what he told to Joshua? Now see if this sounds familiar. Last words Jesus spoke to his disciples, Matthew 28. He came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go. What's that word? Go. Say it again. Go. One more time. Go. Go ye therefore. That's specific. That's individual. Teach all nations. Teach them what? Teach them that I'll walk with them. Baptize them. Put them into me. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. Be obedient to me. That's what he's teaching. Listen. And lo, hold on, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Is God telling us the same thing he's telling Joshua? That's what it sounds like to me. Are you strong and courageous? Are you living in fear? Are you leading in fear? Would your children be able to look at you, parents, and say, that's the safest place I can be because they don't fear anything? Or will they fear too? Will your friends be able to say, they don't fear anything because they trust in faith that God will deliver? Would your coworkers, your classmates, your teammates, your family, we're getting ready to be around a lot of family. Do you have to walk on eggshells because you fear what they may say? Now, let them see that Joshua. Let the people at work see that Joshua. Let them see you have that confidence that God's walking with you. Hebrews 13:5. We have a promise from God that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he said, I'll be with you, I won't fail you, and I'll never leave you. I'm not going to run out of God's presence if I'm obedient to him. Do I succeed at being obedient to him all the time? I don't. That's why I'm a good candidate to preach to you. I figure if I preach to me, it'll hit you. But immediately when he tells me I've stepped out of the way, I get back with him, right? If he tells me to be in the Word, I need to be in the Word. If he tells me to talk to him, I need to talk to him. If he tells me to talk to somebody else, I need to talk to somebody else. But when these challenges in life come up, I can't hunker down in a state of worry and fear. Is that because I'm a brave man? No. No, it's not. Is it because you're a brave person? No. The only way that you can live this life without fear is trust in the divine power of God as a child of God, that he's anointed you with it. And you can't even have that if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're just at the mercy of whatever the world throws at you. But as a child of God, understand, if God is walking with you, I don't even have to be smart enough to make the right decisions. I don't. I can make the wrong logical decision and God make it work out right. I've had people that have come and said, how did you know to do this? Listen, God makes it look like we know what we're doing sometimes. Let's be honest. Sometimes I don't have a clue. I don't know how to do my job here. Every now and then God will make it look like I do. Good for him. I'm walking with him. Thank you, Lord, because I would mess it up. I don't even have to know what to do. You say, well, I'm trying to decide this. I'm trying to. Just go. Go. God's ordering your steps. As long as I'm biblical and I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, then I will be rewarded with prosperity and success in this life, which doesn't have a dollar figure. It has peace and joy. I'll be rewarded with that. You say, well, I'd rather have the dollars. Guess what the people with the dollars are looking for? Peace and joy. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm going to ask you something today. Have you asked him to walk with you? Have you? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior? Have you believed in his salvation? That is your first step in getting to the prosperity of peace and joy that he wants you to have in this life. Not to the state of no battles, but to know that God's walking with you. You want to see God do miraculous things in your life? Keep going into battle with him. Joshua saw some things. That's why he wrote a book. He saw God do all these things. What was his special skill? None. He just knew God walked with him. He knew that God said, I'll deliver it into your hand. The time that you think you're smart enough to figure life out and you've got a game plan, well, there's a verse that says, pride goeth before the fall. That will apply. But the time that you humble yourself to God, you ask him to walk with you, you put your life in his hands, you don't turn to the left or the right, you obey what his word says, you listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll start seeing God win these battles for you that you can't even explain. That's the prosperity he talks about. Why does he want you to win these battles? So that people will keep following you to him. Now let me ask you, those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, are you walking? Are you going? Are you moving? are you in a state of fear? We actually have the choice in this life of what we'll choose. Everything's based on our choice. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. I've laid out today what God has told you in His Word. Now this is the invitation time of the service. It's time for you to respond to God. If you're that person that is still in bondage of fear, God tells you, step on over into the promised land I want to give to you here, which is not a land where you won't have any battles, but a land where you'll see me fight your battles. Amen. Step on over. I'll be with you. Fall on your knees. Cry out to God. Don't be in fear of what some person might see. They're going to see me pray. They're going to see me do that. That fear will stop you from stepping over. Be somebody that's not afraid. Change this thing. Everybody has their part. If everybody in here is able to lead one person this week by them seeing that, can you imagine the different dynamic just in 1 week? Then multiply that and multiply that. That's what was going on back when the early church started, when people just didn't fear. When the disciples were preaching a message of no fear. No matter what they did to try to thwart it, whether they lock them up, well then God would do something miraculous and open the doors. That's what He'll do in your life too. And when He's done with you here, then He'll be with you where you're with Him every day. So how are you with Him now? Use this time to talk to Him. Father God, I love You, I praise You, and I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your precious Word. I pray, God, You speak to us during this invitation time. Let nothing distract us, Lord. I pray that we can focus on our own fear or our own confidence, Lord, for those that are walking with You so strongly or living in that confident joy and peace of knowing they don't fear anything in this world. I pray, God, that You would lead them in their prayers for everyone else. And I pray, God, for each person listening today that's battling, Lord, the fear of life, the fear of this or that. Give them, Lord, that strength, that confidence. Let them see their need to come to You for it. Anoint them, Lord, with that divine power. Increase their faith, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.